We'll begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the first week of July, this is the Rain Report. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. If you missed Bill Pasternak's interview with New York City RACES radio officer Mike Lysenko, N2YBB, that program is still online at rainreport.com as last week's program. You may have heard the adage, no pain, no gain. Here's another saying, no gain, no loss. This slogan came from Gordon West, WB6NOA. He is often referred to as Gordo. Rain's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, refers to Gordo as ham radio's number one cheerleader. We'll be bringing you two excerpts from Gordon's 2005 Dayton Hamvention talk on the subject of hidden antennas. Here is the first.
No gain, no loss. I wish we had that with an inside or a hidden antenna. No gain or no loss. How long would a no gain but no loss half-wave dipole be? For 10 meters. 5 meters. That's very good. Or each side about 8 feet. 8 foot each side dipole, no gain but no loss. Which means a dipole out in free space is a wonderful high-frequency antenna. And the only thing that's going to beat a dipole is probably a directional antenna, some sort of a beam or a quad or something with directionality. So the half-wave dipole, no gain, but no loss. How about for 15 meters? How long is that half-wave dipole? About 22 feet, right? Each side is 11 feet. 468 divided by the frequency in megahertz. And then you look at your partner's answer and it's B on the exam, right? If they were doing testing my way, I'd have as part of the test everybody to build a dipole. Wouldn't that be great? Okay, let's try 20 meters. How long is a half-wave dipole for 20 meters? Each side is 16 and a half feet. Okay, these guys are nodding. Yep, okay, all right. So far, we're okay in the attic. Now let's go to 40 meters. How many of you on 40 meters? Yeah, I like 40 meters. During the day, it's like 200 to 300 miles. And then all of a sudden, you lose all your friends. When darkness hits and you gain a whole bunch of new ones 3 to 4,000 miles away. But wait a minute, how can we get rid of that broadcast on 40 meters? They say that's going to change. Anyway, 40 meters, how long is a halfway dipole on 40 meters? 32 plus 32, about 64 feet. Ooh, boy, we've got to think about how we're going to do 64 feet hidden where no one will see it. How many folks on 75 meters? You can tell these 75-meter people because their arms are real long. Because on 75, you got to do a dipole that's going to be 128 feet from end to end. How many run 75 meters mobile? These are He-Man. They're the ones that when they pull into the parking lot, everybody goes, "What is that on your car?" "Why, son, that's a 75 meter. "Well, what's that on the top?" "That's a copper toilet bowl float." They made them out of copper? Yeah. And they laugh until you put on that Henry solid-state kilowatt amplifier and you draw sparks off that. Then they don't be laughing anymore, huh? How many of you on mobile parked alongside of the road and started talking and lit up a tree? Yeah, caused a forest fire. Now, for those of you on 160 meters, how many on 160 meters? How long is that dipole for 160 meters? 128, 200, it's real mama long. So now we know that the lower we go in frequency, the longer the wavelength and the longer the required half-wave dipole. I think hams have learned that trying to do battle against some of the homeowners associations is a tough way to go, so we have to consider the hidden antenna. Before we consider the hidden antenna, we need to sort of step back and take a look at our property and say, if we had a half-wave dipole, where could it go somewhere in the dwelling that it's either not going to light it up on fire or be right next to something steel, or can I get a signal out of a dwelling in the first place? We have found that shingle roofs, either composite or made out of wood. How many still have wood shingles? Great. Hope you don't smoke in that house, all right? So we need to look at what is going to be a good antenna installation inside a house or not. Okay, one thing for sure, we know that the dipole, no gain, no loss, is what we would like the signal to be. It would be great to have a directional antenna, and I encourage you here at the show to go around and look at things like the hex beam, and there's a couple of other beams that could actually be inside a house. You can phase them. I saw one excellent four-pole phased array that you could actually phase. But again, you're really trying to beat the capabilities of a half-wave dipole. We have found that what works well is to get the antenna up and out, which means as high off the ground as possible. How many live in single story? How many have two stories? Ah, you two stories. If you've got a crawl space in the attic, we've got some great things for you. But we have to take a look and see what's up in the attic. For those of you that are single story, as long as there's not someone above you, then probably there's good capabilities of getting an antenna to work well inside the attic area. What would be desirable would be a multi-band half-wave dipole, if you could stretch it all the way out there. And desirable because we want to try and do, if at all possible, the tuning, not at the transceiver, but up high, where we're going to minimize any SWR coming down the coax. We're going to minimize any interference coming back into the ham station. So one key is be thinking about where can I get that antenna up as high as possible. Second consideration is how can I take this hidden antenna that's maybe going to be inside my roof area? And how many have roofs that are tile or something other than shingles? We have found that tile is about 10 to 15% RF absorptive, which means you'll lose maybe a half a dB depending as to how they did the tiles. So you almost have to try it. You know the way I try it? I take a plain old AM radio and I tune into a very weak AM radio station, and then I go up and I get into the roof area, and if I still am hearing that AM radio station, that tells me I'm probably going to have a good successful antenna. But if I go inside the house and all of a sudden that distant AM station disappears, no matter where I go in the attic, I don't hear it at all until I go back outside, that tells me probably the inside antenna will not work well. But there are ways that we can get around that. So everybody with a little AM radio, you know, the kids just borrow their AM radio, 540 to 1610, tune into a weak station, and use that as a good way of determining, am I getting the same reception inside as I'm able to get outside standing on the ground? And if it gets better, then great capabilities of having that inside the roof antenna work well.
You're listening to a talk about how to get on the HF ham bands with a hidden antenna, Gordon West, WB6NOA. We'll be right back. This is the RAN Report.
You're listening to RainReport.com, the only authorized internet source for RAIN audio.
What we're really worried about, and anytime we see a composite roof, is do they have anything that is going to be an RF barrier, such as copper or any type of sheeting, corrugated roof, that's a killer. How many have GPS, little tiny GPS set? This is another great way. If you can get good GPS signals inside your house, probably you're going to get good RF in and out of the house. The GPS signals at 1575 megahertz are going to be absorbed by nearly anything unless it's just a good old shake roof. So if you have a GPS, do the old GPS test and see if you get reception while walking around inside the house. And if you do, then you can probably get a good signal from an antenna system out of the house from inside out. We can talk about loading corrugated metal roofs and loading the rain gutters, which is a little hazardous, but it does work. All right, so moving ahead, once we've determined that we've got a possible attic area that we can put up a dipole, we have to consider what bands I want to operate on. If you're just going to be on a couple of bands, you could actually develop half-wave dipoles fed in the center. Remember, no gain, but no loss, and have a very good signal. And we put the dipole up and try and bring it down at a 45-degree angle, because that does two things. It makes the impedance look more like 50 ohms. That'll make your new radio happy. And number two, that will give you radiation off the ends, so you have more a circular type of radio propagation going off in all four directions. We have seen some great half-wave dipole antenna systems that have worked well in attics, where there is reception of AM inside the attic. Lay the dipole out, be very, very sensitive that on the ends of the dipole could be a high voltage or a current point that could flash over, and that could be a real problem. So be very, very careful on the half-wave dipole ends. For multiband, what they have are LC networks on each side of the feed point. that will either trap the 10 or the 15 or the 20 meter band. And while they trap a band, they also make that resulting section of wire look a little bit longer than it is. And multi-band dipoles, if they're kept away from metal inside a home, work relatively well. Their bandwidth is very reasonable on 10, 12, 15, and 17, 20. You might get the voice or the CW portion. 40 is getting a little tighter, and 75, you might get 50 kilohertz out of it. So multi-band dipoles are available. So a multi-band dipole is another great way of going. And the reason I keep saying dipole is, remember, we want a balanced antenna, a quarter wave on one side and a quarter wave on the other. Okay, I've tried the dipoles. What else can I try? A lot of folks have experimented with automatic antenna tuners. And these are not big, huge boxes like they used to be. These are called active tuners. Now, there's two kinds of antenna tuners, and this is called the antenna coupler, where the tuning is actually done up at the feed point. You might want to think of this like the ballon of a dipole antenna. These are active, which means that they take 12 volts to drive the relays. Oh my gosh, relays, they don't have like pin diodes. Well, we're talking about high voltage points, several thousand volts on certain frequencies that pin diodes would not provide the low cost reliability that good old gold-plated relays have. So don't be afraid of relays. We use these a lot in the maritime mobile service in a very wet environment, and they hold up well. The automatic tuner allows for several different types of antennas. And if someone were to say, well, it's got to be the loop, and you got to take it all the way around the edge of the house and connect it to ground, maybe. Or maybe you're going to connect the ground terminal to a lot of metal that you may have up in the attic area, such as copper plumbing, or maybe you've got air conditioning unit. You can run the wire down and then maybe over. And the question is, what's going to work best? And I think you'll find that most antenna experts will all agree, you just got to try it. We'll talk about trying it in just a moment, but quite effective is the fully automatic antenna tuner because it allows you to keep your radio very happy, allows that radio to put out 100 watts all the way up to the tuner, or if you're running QRP, less power up to, but certainly maximum power of that equipment, up to the tuner. And then the tuner does the decision making. It'll look at the wire saying, whoa, boy, that is a long, long wire. So it's going to add C, or capacitance, to make that wire look electrically shorter for a specific band. But if you've got a short wire, the tuner's going to click in L, inductance, and make that wire look longer. But the coils are able to make a small, short antenna look longer. But these are not magic. And while there's no gain, there may be a little bit of loss associated with a shorter wire on the automatic tuner. Tuners are wonderful because, as we said before, they make the radio look absolutely happy. The radio sees a 50-ohm load, so you don't have that RF coming back down on the coax that sometimes creates television interference. Tuners can be placed up in an area out of the way. The tuners have a ground post, and they have a hot post, and there's different configurations from loop antennas to long wires. Well, now the question is, well, what works best?
Good question. We'll hear the answers next time. This has been our first of two excerpts from a 2005 Dayton Hamvention talk by Gordon West, WB6NOA, on the subject of hidden antennas. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990 through 2005, RAIN, all rights reserved. From my summer cabin in the Pocono Mountains, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ.